7:30 p.m. Friday night worship service, 7:30 p.m. Prayer, Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple, Church of God in Christ.
Tell somebody, say, you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boyce, Louisiana, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m., worship and the word at 11 a.m., and on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m., and at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Then one from the crowd said to him, notice where the request came from, someone in the audience here. It says, now reminds us that Jesus is in a big audience. He's in a great crowd. There's over 10,000 or more people in this huge crowd, but here is a man, an anthropos, who a human being in the crowd, who approaches Jesus and asks Jesus for something. It's a massive crowd, and then when he addressed Jesus and as teacher. There, he's trying to get something from Jesus, because this word didaskalo in the Greek is the word used for rabbi, and often rabbis were used to address disputes in families. But I like here in this request, he says that he approaches him with that he needed his settlement. He needed his issue taken care of. Because usually in a family, there is an inheritance in the Jewish family, an inheritance is left behind. And usually, it is the firstborn who usually gets a double portion of the inheritance. And how many of you know we're going to get in trouble right about here? Because as long as it's about other stuff, we all right. But if you start talking about money, y'all got quiet on me. If you mention that there is money left behind, and we've got to break up this inheritance, we've got to get rid of this property, folks start falling out. And here is this man. He's disgruntled with his brother, and he makes a request to Jesus, and he said, I want you to tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. As I told you earlier, usually the elder brother got a double portion. Why was that? Brother Farnon, I'm glad you asked. Is that the elder brother was, if there was a mother left behind, the elder brother would take care of his mother. Or wish you had a believer in that. And can I tell you, I need to stop right here, talk to these children a little while, that right now, your parents are taking care of you. Everything you need comes from your parents. I wish I had a witness. They make sure you have a roof over your head. They make sure you have food to eat and clothes to put on. They make sure they will get you up for school on Monday morning, through the week. They make sure you have everything. You put a little mother. And I shout to almost feel the blows from which she put on her mother. I shout to say, how can somebody whip their own mother? And it was caught on video. Now, I wonder why the thought came to me is why in the world would somebody video that long of stroke by stroke look like they ought to put the camera down and have a witness of it? And at least don't try to rescue the mother. And I know the attorney says that she had PTSD, she had so much stress. And she had taken care of a grandfather, 104 years old, a father, 98 years old, and here a mother. And yet, she may not have had any support system. And that's what happens when we don't have a good support system and people praying for us and working for us. And that's why the church is called to be that one another, care for one another. Make sure we check in on our sick and shut in, see how they're doing. We need to make sure we look after the caregivers. We don't know what kind of stress they may be under. I'm getting back on track here, but notice here that he went to Jesus to get his request was for Jesus to appoint Jesus as an arbitrator. I need you to tell my brother, I've got a settlement and I need my cash now. If you know J.G. Wentworth at 877 cash now, we got some folk who live like that. And that mentality, all they want is their cash now.
That's right.
It's my money and I want it now. Oh, we've seen that, and we'll see it again when we look in chapter 15. You remember that young man who came, Gladys Youth Sunday, who came to his father, and he demanded that he get his inheritance right now. He didn't want to wait till his father died. That's when you get your inheritance, is after the death of your father. But he wanted it right now. You know what happened in the rest of that story, that he went off and lived his life and while he was living, he fell broke and he found himself in the hog's pen, desiring to eat of hog's food. Oh, can I tell you, money and that need and desire and that lust for greed can take you into a lot of bad direction. Help me, somebody. But notice something else in the text. Look at the master's response to the man's request. It's right here in verse 14. It's right here in the text. It says, but he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? I like it because it's an unsympathetic response. Jesus is saying, undeniably, Jesus is saying in a refusal that he refused to settle a family affair dispute between a man, a greedy man, and his brother. I wish I had a believer here. You know, this is something here. Jesus wouldn't do it. Why? Because this was not the reason and this was not the purpose for which God had sent him to come. Jesus understood that his mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't know about you, but right here is a good segue to talk about prosperity gospel. And can I tell somebody today that that's a false and phony doctrine and teaching about prosperity? That everybody thinks, and many people even today believe, that God don't want you sick, he wants you well. God don't want you broke, he wants you rich. Everybody is not going to be rich. I wish I had a witness. Some folks got quiet on me right here. teaching of Jesus. Because a lot of people today have an erroneous belief that Jesus came to die that we might become rich. No, Leon Morris says Jesus came not to bring people to property, but to bring God to people. Don't get that when you get home. You need to get that now. And I know we live in a capitalistic society where everything is about what the stock market is for the day, and bonds and silver and gold. We are surrounded by those things, but let me tell you, don't let money change you. It's all right to have money, but don't let money have you. Jesus refused to settle the dispute that this man and his brother had. No doubt the man's brother was in the crowd. But he wanted Jesus to stop doing all what he was doing just so he could get his issue. And Jesus refused. And here is where Jesus here begins to reiterate the purpose for which he came and the warning that he gives to those of his disciples. You need to get this. Don't leave home without it. That he wants you to know that he came for the purpose of saving your soul and not filling your bank account. I heard Jesus say, the poor you will have with you always. And yes, he can bless you to be a blessing to somebody else. It's not for you just to hoard. You seen that sitcom about hoarders. They got so much stuff in their house. Every room, they can't even move in one room. They got stuff piled to the ceiling. They become hoarders. And a lot of folk who are greedy become hoarders. The more they get, the more they want. I'm coming to that verse 15 because it's right here in the text. I didn't say this. Jesus did. It's right here in verse 15. He said to them, I'm glad now, not only to that one man who spoke in the crowd, but Jesus addressed the entire crowd, especially his disciples. So as a disciple of Jesus, you need to get this. First of all, he says, the master's regard about covetousness. He says that the caution about covetousness, the caution about greediness. He says he warns them. Notice he gives them a warning. He said, first of all, take heed, and he says, beware of covetousness. You need to take heed. You need to be on alert. You need to be aware. And I've had to go into my own heart and search my own self to make sure that I'm not a greedy person. Every individual, you got to check your own motive, because the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful and exceedingly. You read that a lot. Verse chapter 4, verse 23 of Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful. It is wicked. You need to check your heart and your motivation. righteous. Help me, somebody. But some of us don't know how indebted the Joneses are. You see their glory, but you don't know them. And I tell you, he cautions us because, brother, Rosenthal, there is a consequence for greediness. I mean, go back home this evening and check it out in Joshua chapter 7. You'll read about a man by the name of Achan. And you remember that when Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and God had given them the marching orders, and when the final day came, the wall came tumbling down. And God had told Joshua to tell the people that they were not to take the spoils of Jericho. He said to them that the spoils of Jericho were a curse. They were off-limited to them. And he told them not to touch them, not to take them. But it was Achan who spotted a beautiful garment, a Babylonian robe. Not only had he wanted it, that's what covenant was. He wanted it for himself. It was off-limited. He wanted that. And not only did he take that beautiful robe, Babylonian robe, but he took shackles of silver and shackles and wedges of gold. And the Bible said he hid them in his tent. I got to tell you the story because it's going to help somebody. And as a result of this, all Israel was shaken as a result. Well, they went up to Ai to fight the battle. And when they went up to Ai to fight the battle, 3,000 of the Israelites were slain. And poor Joshua sat down in sackcloth and ashes, and he prayed to God. And God told him, "Get up, Joshua. Israel has seen." Now, mind you, Achan was but one person. But it troubled the whole camp of his seed of covenants. I need to tell somebody, be careful what you do, because the consequence can trouble your whole family. Matter of fact, Joshua called Achan out and brought him in the public, and Achan confessed that he had coveted the robe and the shekels and the gold. The Bible says that Achan and all of his family were taken and they were burned in front of the Israelites. And then when Israel went up the second time, they won the victory because there was a purging in the camp. Can I tell you, there are always consequences for our greed. We think, oh no, this is all about me, mine, and mine. We'll talk about the barn builder next Sunday, but it's not all about you. You got to think about it, that the things that you do can have consequence even on your family. And even on the church. Oh yes, you remember, it was Ananias and Sapphira. When everybody had promised that they were going to give up their possessions so that the church would go forward. But Ananias and Sapphira, they both schemed together. And the Bible says that when they confronted Peter, confronted Ananias, Ananias died live, and he died. And then when they confronted his wife, Sapphira, she lied with him, and they both died. I got to tell somebody, don't you touch the tithe. The tithe is holy. I didn't think I was going to get that one in. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. It's off limit. And You'll curse with a curse. Listen to the wisdom of Solomon here. He says in Ecclesiastes 5 and 10, I'm glad y'all taking notes. He says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. He says, but this is vanity, a chasing after the wind. What then, Pastor, is a good cure for covetousness? What is a good cure for greediness? I'm glad you asked. Paul tells us over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6 through 10. Listen at the reading of 1 Timothy 6. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. You never see a U-Haul behind the hearse. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content or satisfied. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drowns men in destruction and perdition. For the love, money is not evil, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Don't be greedy. Your life is more than your possession. Here Jesus says that your life does not consist of the abundance of things that you have and the possessions that you have, but beware of covetousness. Beware of greediness, because your life is more than money. Your life is more than houses and land. Your life is more than clothing that you wear. You got to learn how to put God first. I like this song. It's a secular song, but I'm going to spiritualize it, if you will. It says, though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, gangster lean white walls, diamond in the back, sun rooftop, digging the scene with a gangster lean. But remember in all that you still can stand tall, but remember to be thankful for what you got. Needs to hear this message this morning. You may not have a large bank account. You may not have an overflowing bank account. Your 401k may not be worth $1 million. But whatever you have, you got to learn to be thankful. You got to learn to tell the Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm grateful. the throne. I need somebody here. God still makes a way. God still opens doors. He keeps on making a way out of nowhere. Sunday, you need to be rich toward God. I know, young people, we live in a capitalistic society, but you need to go home leaving here today thanking God for whatever state you find yourself in. That was Paul. I've learned to be content. I'm satisfied. I don't need a bigger. And I know we can get caught up. It's easy. We can get caught up in trends. But make sure you're caught up in the Lord. And maybe there's somebody here today that you would put your trust in God through Jesus Christ. And you've never made Jesus your choice. You're going to seek him and serve him the remainder of your days. If you're going to give your life to him and totally to him, and he's going to supply, he's going to take care of your needs. First of all, on the cross, he's taking care of your salvation needs. Amen. Because the greatest need that man has is salvation. I wish I had a witness in here. All this other stuff, you're going to see that again later on. Everything else is secondary. Primary is to have a relationship with God through his son Jesus. Remembering that he died for your sins, he was buried on the third day. God raised him from the dead. And if you, like we said last week, will confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him, you shall be saved. He'll give you your greatest need, and it's salvation.